In the history of television, it's never been so funny, so dramatic, so totally
mind-blowing.
Wow, 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 wow.
Sunday, television's greatest night is the biggest live event of the year.
One, two, three.
Watch the best of the best face off.
And the Emmy goes to...
Jimmy Kimmel hosts the Emmys.
You don't watch, we're not friends anymore.
Live Sunday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ABC.
Hello, friend, and thank you for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV for the Mr. Robot After Show. We're going to be breaking it down. We're going to be talking about Elliot, lucid dreaming, Tyrell. Does he actually exist? Angela, White Rose, was Alexa right, or is the world going to end in the next week? We will find out next.
The destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yes. You didn't think we'd come into the regular song, did you?
No. Because we're not regular.
Shout out.
To covers.
Shout out to
I wanted us to do the Power of Love. I mean, come on. If we're on the Back to the Future tip, might as well.
Thank you so much for joining us here for Mr. Robot Season 2, Episode 11. Yes. Python, I am your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN, but I'm not alone. Many apologies to anyone who's being bothered by all these lights. I don't care. This is awesome.
I know.
I'm not alone. I'm 3/4 of our regular panel, as per our usual.
And yes, when I'm not rocking out to awesome music and EDM lights, you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Ashley_Chapman. One more episode left, guys. I can't handle it.
And to her left.
And what is up, everybody? I have been crying after sex since 1996. I'm JC Rubio. Find me at JC Rubio TV on Instagram and Twitter. And a shout out to all the fans watching us live. Chat roll, let us know, because we are as confused as you are. So let's all get through this and hang in there together.
Yes.
So, did you guys have as good a time at this episode as I did?
I have so many mixed emotions. It's hard for me to just say one adjective. Like, oh, I felt this way about the episode. Okay, so now that we know that this was originally supposed to be a double finale episode, mm-hmm. So it was supposed to be two back-to-back episodes.
So that this
episodes.
Was going to be back-to-back with another episode.
So I felt like, even though that would have been really long, this was a little slower for me. I still really loved a lot of what happened in this episode, but I felt like it would have made more sense if there would have been the finale episode right behind it to kind of close everything out, like finally answer all the questions. Like, this one kind of gave me blue balls a little bit, like, you know, left me hanging a little bit, you know, like, so, I mean, I really liked it, but yeah, I think it would have definitely complemented the season finale, or I hope it shall complement it really well.
I think I'm on the same boat as y'all. I mean, I had the hardest time. I was watching it again at 3 a.m. I felt like I was eating breadcrumbs by now I just want a whole damn sandwich.
Right.
Mm. I want answers. And I think everyone feels that way.
Yeah.
But I think, okay, either next week can be the greatest episode ever. It's going to have to be, I think. Because the whole season, there's been so much tension.
Yeah.
So much tension. And, you know, we're going to find out who's knocking on the door. What's going on here? We're led in just so much tension that eventually we're getting, like, tired. We want some payoff. We do. And, you know, in the finale, there's going to be, of course, payoff. There's going to be payoff. There'll be some more questions. But I really want us to pay off all this whole season has been. I'm exhausted, but I love the show. I absolutely love it, love it, love it to the bottom of my core.
Mm-hmm, of course.
But I want some more answers. And I actually liked Call Me Screwed Up in the Head. I watched it with my girlfriend, and she was like, this shit is nuts last night. She was just like, it was like David Lynch, you know, we're going into that territory with White Rose and Angela. We're starting to feel that. And that's something I think I'm going to toss to you because, because Mr. Predictions, who... A lot of people are starting to give you some credit here, Holmes.
Yeah. There's something to be said about a man who hacks time and is involved in a chemical plant, possibly trying to build a time machine, and that we had a bunch of songs from Back to the Future. Back to the Future 1 was referenced in the pilot of this episode, of this whole series. I'm kind of shocked at my ability to say it, too. I think there's something to be said about multi-dimensional exploration.
See, and before we get into the whole, like, predictions, my thing is, right now we've dealt with science fact.
Yeah.
And I'm very scared that we're going to go into science fiction.
Yeah.
It seems like we're going to have to go into that. And the thing is, this is where I'm torn, and maybe fans can help me out. It's, Espinel has always said that this show has been about what's going on in our now, in our current times, with technology and just themes and everyone in general. So that's why I'm a little gun shy by going into, let's say, AI, robots, time machines, these types of things. I'm a little hesitant because the whole show has been, aside from Elliot's split personalities and DID, it's still been pretty grounded in today's world.
But if you think about it, there is still some, I'd say, resonance of science fiction, because you have, I mean, the entire world economy being hacked and all the world's debt essentially being erased. That's something that, I mean, it could very well happen, but there'd be a lot of steps that would have to go forward for that.
But I think that's what he's getting to, that, like, that's not an unrealistic jump of destroying the whole world economy.
But I think for, but as far as, like, China giving trillions of dollars to a single U.S. corporation, I don't think that's something that the U.S. would ever allow in an effort for them to try to build their own currency that would be in competition with the U.S. currency. So, I mean, there's still a lot of stuff that it's not super implausible, but I think, like, just based on our history, based on
that's incredibly plausible currency-wise. And I'm just going to jump straight into Price meeting with the Treasury guy and the $2 trillion loan.
Yes.
And he was meeting with that Treasury guy, and the Treasury guy straight up said, the United States government prints its own money. Mm-hmm. And I immediately was like, that's not true. The Federal Reserve prints the money, and the Federal Reserve, in spite of having federal entitlements, is actually a private institution, has been since the banks went away from the gold standard. And I think that's what they're mirroring here with another corporation, just saying, hey, the U.S. government needs our help, and you're gonna need to help us become the new dollar. And they're kind of mirroring that can happen in our world. That already happened in our history.
And that ties it in, because that was Price's plan all along since the end of season one. That this was all set in motion,
complete with a 1912 map of Europe in his office.
Yeah,
like, there were a lot of clues there for him too. That's been his plan.
So this has been his plan. Then my biggest question was, Elliot and Darlene clearly were pawns in this entire scheme. So, and then these are, of course, questions, predictions, hopefully something that will pay off for the season finale. But I guess how, because it seems as though Elliot is working with White Rose in a very separate way that White Rose is working with Philip Price. So it's like two different objectives that are going on here, and it seems like they're not really moving in the same direction. Mm-hmm. So how can one necessarily satisfy the other? You know what I mean? Like, how are they able to loan them this money so that they can create this new e-coin, which doesn't really seem like White Rose is too in favor of him going forward with that. And then on the same token, knowing what Elliot's role and what his mission was with trying to take down and, you know, the establishment and corporations and things like that. Like, how is this phase two supposed to, does it correlate, or is it like double crossing, or how are we?
I think you hit it on the nose. I think it all is heavily dependent upon stage two.
Yeah.
And you go back to the very first episode of season one to take out E-Corp. You can't just take it out with one. You have to cut off all the arms of the monster, of the beast.
Snake.
But
is White Rose one of those snakes, or is Elliot, like?
I think for a lot this season we've been talking about how Elliot is a pawn, and I think F Society's the pawn. I think Elliot is a bigger player than we've been noticing.
Yeah.
That he, or at least Mr. Robot, and the consciousness of Elliot, I think we can start calling it. I honestly think that would be the most sense next week if we just get into. Nope, Elliot is pretty much been working with White Rose this whole time.
Yeah.
And he's the mastermind of phase two, and phase two is going to take down Price and E-Corp. But do we think, because we kind of figured out that bitcoins are the enemy of e-coins.
Yeah.
Because bitcoins are pretty much backed primarily by Chinese miners.
Mm-hmm.
Little Chinese people. No, the people who use their computer to mine bitcoins in China.
Underage yes. Chinese people.
They may or may not be of age.
Okay.
Because then they'd be miners. It would be weird.
And we just where keep can going they tweet you at,
Steve?
The
you can find me at Steve Kaufman, K-A-U-F, M-A-N-N. I tweet puns like that all the time. But we find that that's the Chinese side, and I assume that's what White Rose and Elliot want. Mm-hmm. And Price wants to take over the Federal Reserve as a private company and be a little more honest with the fact that we're a private company, but you're taking your loans from us.
Yeah.
Which is versus the way it works now, which is they call themselves the Federal Reserve, mm-hmm. but they're a private bank.
But would the U.S. government be comfortable with that? Because then that means China would have a lot of stake in the type of currency that it is and mm-hmm. then how we use that currency.
But that's... so would the U.S. government. And that's what he was saying. The U.S. government gets a stake in the currency, too.
But if but China is giving $2 trillion, I would imagine they have a much bigger stake. So even if the U.S. has stake in it, who's to say that what China says isn't going to trump what...
I have a question with everything you guys are saying about this. It's, okay, we know it was to keep the plant going, the yeah. Washington Township.
Yes.
Whatever's going on in there. My biggest question is, how did a... Minister Zhang get those $2 trillion to be, you know, to China to okay that.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
It's a lot of questions government wise because it just seemed like it happened really fast.
China's a real cash rich nation, though.
True.
Yeah.
Very
that
true.
That they could probably have liquidity of that.
And they already own a lot of our debt.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But let's get into like everything else of tonight. That's.
So let's circle back to Dom. Who asked Alexa when the world will end, and Alexa had an answer that did not seem commensurate with this series.
Yeah.
Because Alexa's like, nope, a couple billion years from now. And it's like,
Well, she said a couple billion years
unless man destroys it. And even then, the world will stay. That's a weird question. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think what Dom meant to say was, when will my world end? Mm. Mm. And then the answer is actually, when you die.
Well, I took a lot from that scene with Alexa, and I think it was more of a commentary of us and our relationship with technology and us kind of divorcing ourselves from human interaction.
Yeah.
Because we're on our tablets, our phones, and you're seeing that more and more. You say we are entrenched in this world. Mm-hmm. And you see her almost like a nod to maybe her from Joaquin Phoenix. It felt like to me that it was out there for me. Sorry, follow me here, guys. It just felt to me that, you know, she's closer to Alexa than she is the majority of people, because you see her interaction with people. She's not a smooth communicator. But when she's with Alexa, you know, they were getting to know each other. It was an intimate moment in explaining her loneliness, you know, mm-hmm. as a human being, but her closeness to her technology.
By the way, Siri's answer is not nearly as scientific of when will the world end.
No. No, Siri, there was a lot of her questions.
Siri's answer is just punny. But I've said this before, I've applauded this show before for ultimately being anti-capitalist, but for having such a beautiful scene with Alexa, the Amazon real-life Siri that mm-hmm. can be in your actual house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're okay with it, because we're genuinely like, no, but that scene was really about like our disconnect with this or that. And then it's like, but like Amazon paid to have Mr. Robot on Amazon Prime, like exclusively. And this was probably part of the deal.
Sure. I know. It was a shameless plug. And a lot of people in the chat agree just about with the whole scene with Dom and Alexa. And a lot of people are saying, you know, basically how we feel more connected to technology than we often do with human beings. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just a great commentary on that as well. But then just also to show, like, just how lonely and sad and kind of isolated how she feels. And then, like, being an FBI agent and her being so involved in this season and all of the things that she has, you know, caught up on and initiated and, like, really led a lot of the FBI agents to, you know, reveal a lot of what's been going on behind the scenes with this season. And just to kind of see, like, how she's this badass in this other world and, you know, in her personal life, it's... She pretty much doesn't have any friends. Like, Alexa is all she
Alexa's
has.
Alexa's her bestie.
Yeah.
Besties, where does she go from here, though? That's what I want to know.
After she quits? Like, she bails on everything.
Yeah. Does she really? I mean, she's going to have a crack at, I don't know, whoever survived Lupe is. It's either Dom or Cisco. I mean, Dom or Cisco or Darlene or both, whoever survived, because she even mentioned that to Santiago. Mm-hmm. So where does she go? Does she step on the mine? Does she take Santiago's advice? Does she dance around the mines? What are we going to see next? Or is she going to go rogue?
Has to go rogue.
Yeah.
She's one of those people. Like, she's a Captain America type.
Maybe they're setting it up to either where she goes rogue, or maybe she feels like she's more connected with the F Society, you know, like she finds her connection there. But I have to point out this hilarious comment in the chat. Shout out to Drew Richardson. So Dom and Elliot are both lonely. Why not hook up? It'll be a group thing since Elliot will bring Mr. Robot and Dom will bring Alexa. Love it.
And possibly Tyrell.
Yeah, possibly.
Possibly Tyrell and Elliot's mom, depending...
Yeah.
Depending on when in his psyche you catch him.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
You have a lot going on there. I think Dom goes rogue, and I think the way she was dealing with Santiago, I think we all thought Santiago was dirty.
Yeah.
Whereas now they put this in perspective of just like, it's $2 trillion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They could have shot up a lot more than a diner.
Yeah.
And this deal would still happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd have to back off.
Yeah.
Like, money is talking right now, and I think she's such a, like, moral north compass that she's not going to let that stand. She's going to fight to the death to find out what exactly happened.
Yeah.
And I think once she does and realize how deep it goes, the only person she could side with is F Society.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Should be like a daredevil, tech daredevil, FBI agent type of daredevil, somebody.
I would love that. For her to just be like kind of like the rogue FBI agent that's in the pocket of F Society, so she stays within F Society, but she feeds them information. More information they already have, because F Society already hacked the FBI.
Can form like a tech suicide squad almost.
Ooh. Know?
Like just a whole bunch of misfits and
we're going for it there.
Yeah, we are.
Do we want to jump into Angela?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
We still don't. White Rose got her.
Yes.
Which was Dark Army got her. It was not the FBI or any, or CIA or any type of that.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like just a mom and a dad. A mom and a dad brought her into the garage?
Yeah. Well, credit to Reddit, because they actually showed screenshots of Angela all throughout this season. Her meeting with their ex-boyfriend, Ollie. Like, her in all these different scenes. And those two people have been in the background.
Have they really?
Yeah.
The whole time. So trailing her and watching her for pretty much this whole season.
Mm-hmm.
So White Rose has been tailing her and watching her. Okay, so my question was, and maybe you can talk a little bit more about the scenes before we get into it. What did you guys feel about him talking about, you should have expired, or basically you should have been killed 90 days ago, like your time was up. Like, what do you think his real motivation was for keeping her alive? Because since time is so important to him, it would make more sense to me, okay, just kill her. Get rid of her,
I think he sees her, I think he sees time as he sees life, kind of like the Matrix is a bunch of zeros and ones. And he sees her kind of like Neo as this remainder of like, you can always just like get it with your eraser, or just recompute, but it's probably easier to just like, but why is there a remainder?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did a really precise calculation that I'd wind up at zero and you're one. Mm-hmm. How did this happen? And I think that's been his fascination with her versus someone like Elliot, where I think Elliot was a known one or zero, that it was just like, no, Elliot's one of the powerful ones in this calculation that I've made. Whereas Angela is a one that wound up at the end and be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Okay, I know, and we're drawing the parallels with, let's say, White Rose being the architect or someone of that nature, possibly Oracle, whatever, you know, with Matrix. But let's, maybe if we didn't go as deep, because they were supposed to have her killed 90 days ago because of the hack, because of tying up loose ends and things like that. So wouldn't Ollie have been offed as well?
A lot of people should have been offed.
Well, I think Ollie would have been so low level that it didn't bother.
He is, but I mean, still the fact that he knew and he was willing to talk to FBI.
But I also think it wasn't necessarily that Dark Army was going to kill her as much as a part of his calculation. Price would find out, or E-Corp would find out, or Allsafe would find out.
Sure.
And those powers would have her killed. I think that's what he meant.
Okay.
I think he meant, by my calculation, one of the factors I've created would have led to you being killed.
What are you guys?
And for some reason, you're not.
Thoughts on the scene itself. I mean, what were you guys thinking the first time you saw, when you watched the episode?
It was. At first, I thought it was like a weird dream flashback, like some, like maybe she was out or something. It just felt really surreal. It didn't feel like a real scene. It didn't feel like a real interaction. And I thought the same thing too. The White Rose said, he was like, how come you didn't leave? I kept thinking that too. I'm like, she never went towards the door. She never tried to escape.
But she did. And that's what I didn't understand.
When he sat her down.
At that 4-hour gap?
That 4-hour gap where she just sat down with that little girl. She never once got up and actually tried to open the door.
Because she did try to get out at first when the two people put her in the room. She went to the
door. But the door was locked. Idea was...
Keep trying.
But there were two doors, too. And the door that the girl came through, right? Wasn't there two doors? Wasn't there a door that she came into on her side? And then wasn't there the door that White Rose...
But that was White Rose's point, that there were a lot of ways out. She could have just smashed that fish tank just to try. Yeah. She could have tried to choke hold that little girl. She could have flipped over that Commodore 64. Like, if you wanted out of that room...
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted out of that room beyond all else, there would have been a lot of other ways to react to that situation other than to sit down and just talk to that little girl. About whether you're a giraffe or a rhino? Was that the question?
Or if you cry during sex?
Seagull or a giraffe.
I'm definitely a giraffe.
Yeah, no, and once again, we bring up the point of the key. Mm-hmm. That was brought up last season as well in the dream episode with Elliot. They had the key as well. So what is that key? That's what I want to know. Yeah. Well, maybe about their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about what is the next level of humanity? And that's where I'm starting. I don't want to go here, but you're making me, Mr. Robot. The fact that, you know, that their parents died for a reason, to take humanity to the next level. That's what White Rose is saying, tying into what Philip Price said last week, where he wanted to be at the level of God and create. And so I'm starting to get these possible ideas that. What are they creating in that plant? I don't know. It's driving me crazy.
Well, in the chat, Hello Friend says, Angela is valuable to Price. White Rose wants to get the one up on Price so he can get a hold of what she knows on the DEA, I suppose. So that could be another reason. But yeah, it just, it didn't really explain to me. And then it was just weird. Like, I know she was there for that time, but I don't know if that would have been enough for me to coerce me to just completely, you know, shut down my entire plan to move forward with, you know, exposing E-Corp and Philip Price and the white chip. What's it called? The
Washington Township.
Township. I really like the scenes, but I just didn't really connect with, you know, how he was able to get through to her so quickly. And maybe he hasn't. Maybe she's putting on a good front. It felt like it a little bit, but then at the same time, it didn't. It felt like she actually was affected by what he said and that she has made an internal change and has decided to stop.
But, yeah, I agree with that.
Was anyone else very suspicious of this scene? Because the whole episode started with Elliot lucid dreaming.
Yes,
absolutely. And one of the things I tweeted right around the time that this scene happened was... Wait, so is the entire episode a lucid dream. Elliot's lucid dream or just the weird stuff with Angela? Just let me in. Just let me know.
It's literally what it felt like.
Can I just disregard everything?
Because the little girl
was dressed very similarly to Angela as well.
And then we have Lolita brought up once again. You know, Darlene with the Lolita glasses and Dolores Hayes, the character, and Angela quoted Lolita. And her penchant for old dudes. I mean,
it's all there with Angela for the Lolita.
Yeah,
comparisons are just ripe.
Lolita.
Is that something else? Was her dad abusive to Angela? Perhaps. I don't know. Just like Elliot had his problem with his mother. Mm-hmm. You know, his father is now a manifestation, and his relationship with his mother. We still don't know what's going on inside of Angela's head.
Mm-hmm. Someone in the chat. It's a little too far for me to find it now, but they mentioned that Angela and Elliot have essentially been programmed.
Mm. Yeah.
And probably Darlene, too, because she was as close to the Washington Township, that they've been programmed by White Rose to be his pawn.
Yeah.
Moving forward to this, and that Angela meeting with this little girl was a form of deprogramming, which is interesting. I think part of this was stylistically they wanted it to be a weird kind of, like, surreal scene.
Yeah. That's an interesting.
But he does it. Everything he does is with purpose. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't know if it's just a stylistic choice. There has to be something there.
I'm saying it's stylistic for the show and surreal for the show, but I think there's something there for White Rose did it.
You know, because he was testing her, was it not only gullibility, but it was also her empathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'll rest next week. I think I have a feeling something's going to be answered where I can start making these bolder, broader strokes, you know, because I just see it that way. You're teeter-tottering on science fact and science fiction to me, and I'm hanging in there.
Well, let's be fair. It's science. Paranoid schizophrenics don't see people. So we're already on that border. If you want to get from the basics, we've already bordered beyond science fact, where it's already kind of science fiction.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, people who suffer from multiple personality disorder don't quite suffer from it the way Elliot is.
Yeah.
And that gives you the out to eventually build a time machine, is what I'm saying.
He's really working the time machine.
I don't quite think it's a time machine. I do think he's doing experiments with time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think more people are on my side now.
No, and you're right, because something happened later on in the episode, and I know we're going to get to it.
Yeah.
I hope you know where I'm going with the reporter and Angela and the lawyer. Okay, we'll get
okay. to yeah. Well, really we're cool. on Angela. Let's talk about that, where she...
Which poor lawyer.
She just literally tells that lawyer, don't talk about
either
me.
Either you're in or you're out. I know. Yeah.
Just don't talk to me ever again.
Yeah. And once again, and this is more on the lighter side, why don't any of their doors have peepholes? I know she has a giant window, but and she didn't even check when Angela knocked. She just go check the door. But okay. During that whole scene, if you're listening to the reporter, he's talking about eCoin and the loan and the whole process going on. And you notice that when this is all going on and Angela is telling her not to contact her again, there's a brownout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when the lights come back on, if you listen to the TV, it's repeating what was said before. It, like, jumped back, like, 20 seconds.
Mm.
It's God-honest truth.
I remember that now, but I'm still...
And that's
one of those things they could put there just to mess with you. Because with a digital TV, that would happen.
Why would he put that?
I don't think
he'll do things to mess with you, because he's always said that, Sam Esmail said, I'm not going to give you gotcha moments for the sake of gotcha. Because I don't want to piss off the fans. I don't. So
where are you going with that?
Maybe.
That the brownouts are part of this.
The experiments of
I think somebody in the chat just said a multidimensional machine, which I think might be.
Gosh,
a multidimensional.
Hey, fans at home, every time Steve says multidimensional machine or time machine, take a drink.
Is this Rick and Morty? Is this Rick and Morty will both show up?
Okay, yeah, no, but I just thought that was interesting, and I was like, God damn it, Steve might just be right.
Well, that would be interesting, because White Rose is so connected and so centered on time. That would be his dream, to be able to hack time. So it's making more and more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not making
I'm not sense. Saying, but I'm also not saying he's successful.
Of course.
He could just be ultimately killing people out of Washington Township and messing with chemicals and whatever he thinks might work, and none of it could actually work. I am saying he's trying. But I've been bordering on predictions with this White Rose stuff. Let's move on to Joanna and Mr. Sutherland. The gentleman who plays Mr. Sutherland was nice enough to join us on the phone last week.
Yes.
Jeremy Holm, what's
good
up?
Good dude. Woo.
Follow him at Holm Jeremy. I'm going to give him so much shine.
Oh, man.
Got to, man.
And I didn't want to say anything while he was on the phone with us, but I'm pretty sure his character has a lot to do in next week.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It wasn't just our show. He was kind of doing the rounds last week.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he loves the show, and I'm sure he would love to talk to everyone, but I think there's part of it where it's like he's doing the rounds to like ramp up for something next week where everyone's Googling him.
Okay.
That's my thought. I don't have anything particularly for Mr. Sutherland, but I think...
Okay, so what was the greatest gift? Because she said, you know, Joanna said that this would be his greatest gift, Tyrell's greatest gift. I know I'm kind of jumping ahead.
No, that's where we are.
With Joanna, and yeah, because he wants to know what to do at that address. You know, what is the greatest gift? Is it stage two?
Well, let's back up to what do we think Joanna actually knows? Does she know more than Elliot?
I don't think so. I don't think she. Yeah, I don't think so, because, and I'm coming to it from that perspective, because I don't think Tyrell is still. I don't think he's real or alive, or what we're seeing is real.
You think You think Tyrell is dead, and is anytime we see him, he's a manifestation of Elliot?
I'm still on the fence as to whether I think he's dead, but I don't think that that was the real Tyrell.
You think that was a manifestation of Elliot?
I think that was a manifestation. Okay. So, but if it was, if it wasn't a manifestation, and if it really was Tyrell, maybe, but I don't know. It just, she seemed, honestly, very seriously aloof this entire season as far as, like, what's been going on with Tyrell, where he is, what he's been doing. So I think that she feels like she's getting closer to figuring things out. And I think that with her, you know, really watching Elliot more, and I think that maybe she's even picking up on, you know, Mr. Robot, and that there's like two different sides to him, and figuring out like what that means. I think she's getting closer to figuring out the truth. But at this point, I think that she's still kind of like us, like breadcrumbs, just trying to figure it out step by step. Yeah.
She's killing me. I'm still waiting to see the whole, you know, I've seen a little bit of it, of she being Lady Macbeth. That's been the quote all along for her character. So what's going to happen next week? The greatest gift, what is that? And is she going to rain down, you know, and we're going to see her in her full glory next week for the finale?
Is the finale episode in an hour? Next week?
Yes, it's actually short. It's straight up an hour, and I actually saw the replay for next week for on USA. It's only going to be 55 minutes long on the replay.
Oh, wow.
So that leads me to believe it's going to be somewhere between 39 and 44 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really fast.
Which would make more sense why they thought they were ending this week, because that would have just been back-to-back with this.
And actually, fans wanted us to touch upon that, if we had any ideas why they broke up the episodes. You know, I'm wondering if it's just a, you know, I've heard some people said that Sam doing some last minute edits.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you have the Emmy sandwich in between the two, you know, the two part finale.
I see.
So to keep, you know, keep the buzz and
keep the buzz around Mr. Robot in between the Emmys, that would be a huge part of it.
Especially since Rami is, you know, he's Gold Derby, he's favored to win it. So, I mean, so it's a fine time for them critically, so.
Well, they won,
McQuail.
Yeah, McQuail, yeah. So, that'd be great. And we still get our honorary AfterBuzz show Emmy, right?
That's a thing that happens.
That's the rule.
And I brought up something right before we went on, and he disappeared. What happened to Derek? That's Joanna's boy toy.
Yeah.
What's going on there with the Tyrell tie-in? You know, a lot of people speculated that, you know, Joanna was just using him as a pawn. That's why he was choking her so much. You know, he would always, they'd have that rough play. And to possibly frame him of being the person that murdered Sharon Knowles. This is going back a few episodes.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering why he kind of just disappeared all of a sudden. Yeah. And there's got to be a reason why.
There's
possibly that she's keeping him around in the event anyone cares about Sharon Knowles other than Sharon Knowles' husband.
No, but I mean, like, no, to save Tyrell's ass. So
yeah, that in the event Tyrell is alive, people will then, in the event Tyrell is alive and exonerated from being the head of S Society, we're then going to have to find out who killed Sharon Knowles. So she's keeping a dude around to frame for that, just in case, because she's just diabolical like that.
True, true, true.
So we spoke about the Emmys.
Yep.
The Emmys are this Sunday. And in the history of television, it's never been so funny, so dramatic, or so good. Think about the shows that are on this season. There's House of Cards, Modern Family, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, what else? Blackish, Homeland, Better Call Saul, love that show, Veep, Transparent, Silicon Valley, Mr. Robot. I haven't heard of that one. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I mean, we're really in television's golden age. Oh yeah, don't forget Americans, Transparent, Master of None. And on Sunday, September 18th, television's greatest night is the biggest live event of the year. You can watch the show that celebrates great television, the Emmy Awards. There's no better night to watch the best of the best face off and see if your favorite shows win. Plus, you can see what everyone's wearing on the red carpet. Who looks as good in real life as they do on their TV shows? So be there when one of the funniest men in television, Jimmy Kimmel, hosts the Emmys live Sunday, September 18th, 7 Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And stick with us here at AfterBuzz TV. There will be an Emmys after show panel. Sadly, I'm editing a feature, so I will not be in attendance, but I saw the email of the people who've been asked, and it's going to be an awesome panel.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to seeing the mean tweets that the Emmy nominees have to read about themselves, like Kimmel throwing zingers. That'll be the fun.
He's probably shooting that, like, today. Right today now. Is just about right to start shooting that.
I'm sure he'll have Rami on there, like, kind of reading a mean tweet about himself. You know, that'll be fun to watch.
I would love to see Rami just, like, be deadpan about. Just like, is that a funny thing?
Whole thing. We've been all perplexed. We don't know what's going on. We're trying to hang in there, but we forgot about one thing. Talk about Elliot.
Well, yeah. Of course.
We got to talk about the man, the lucid dreamer.
This was an Elliot light episode.
Yeah.
And this was a Darlene Cisco zero episode. We're not sure if they're both alive at all.
Yeah. Well, I think they made mention that at least one of them.
They just said the interview. That could have been somebody else in that diner that wasn't them.
True.
When Dom said, you have to let me go do that interview, she never mentioned that interview with the... She didn't even say the survivor. It could have just been another witness a block away. They could have sprayed that entire diner and everybody's dead.
I don't know if I agree with that, though, because just the way the tone that she brought it up, it seemed like it was one or the other.
It's Darlene or Cisco. Yeah. I agree that that would be a little devastating for this show.
But it is plausible.
To just be like, they're dead now?
Yeah. Well, I don't think Darlene is dead, but I do think Cisco is dead. But yes, we digress. But they were not in this episode at all, which, of course, we were like, are they alive? Are they dead? So I'm sure we'll find that out, too.
I think there were ever Mobley and Trenton is.
You know, so have you guys ever tried to lucid dream?
Sleeping with the fishes. I have not. I'm afraid to.
Really?
Yeah. Ever since I saw that movie, they did a sequel to it. It's a scary movie where the little boy leaves his body. He astro projects out of his body, and then all these spirits and demons try to come to his body, and the dad is trying to save him. It'll come.
I want to see that movie.
Yeah, how do neither of us know this movie? That's an incredible really movie.
Good. Yeah.
He lucid dreams in his own room.
Yeah.
And does that at the very beginning of the episode, leading all of us to wonder
if any
of the episode is real. But I...
Tying into what White Rose said.
Yeah.
Definition of real.
In Mr. Robot parlance, much like life, it's like, what is anything?
Yeah. Which is...
No, but it was interesting because Insidious. There you go. Insidious.
That was Brad McDermott in the chat.
Thank you,
Brad.
Woo! Insidious. So that's why I've been scared of lucid dreams. I'm like, I don't want to leave my body, and then a crazy old murderous woman tries to take over and does the AfterBuzz panel with you guys, and it's just freaky.
Don't scare me like that. I would want to do it in a heartbeat. No, but okay. He incepts basically Mr. Robot in a sense. You know, he role reversal with him and whatnot, and. A lot of takeaways from that, of course, the hacking sequence. I kind of, you know, all the little clues there that we see along the way when he's breaking down Red Wheel Barrel, the takeout menu, where one code leads to another. And of course, I freeze framed a screenshot. And there was actually an entry on when it gets to the, I believe, it's the ASCII text. I forget it. The text converter. Yeah. And the passage to the on the right, there's actually two passages. No one's really broken down the one on the right, and I was trying to figure out how to Google Translate it, but all my translate would say it's in Swedish. So I thought that was interesting because of Tyrell and whatnot.
Tyrell speaks Swedish. Yeah.
But on the left, it's a passage from a book called The Book. It's a short story by H.P. Lovecraft from like the 1930s, and it's talking about, I think I have the passage actually, so people can bring it down.
How late into the 1930s?
It was his uncompleted work.
Oh, yeah. But that would have been roughly Rockefeller, because that would have tied back to the price stuff, because the time of the Rockefellers, it's actually well known that Rockefeller money kept America afloat at some point.
That's true, a similar
reason to the price thing, where it's just like you can pretty much buy the whole country. And just as long as you're cool about it, as long as you're just like quiet about it,
right?
And be a private bank but call yourself federal.
Yeah.
My biggest question was, he was able to incept or make an inception move with Mr. Robot, but how did Mr. Robot not know? Because it was still Elliot operating as himself, but Mr. Robot was operating Elliot, and then Elliot was operating inside of Mr. Robot operating inside himself.
It's all Elliot? Anytime I got too caught up in it, I went...
It's all Elliot.
It's all That's Elliot. The mind is weird.
But how did Mr. Robot not know that Elliot was there?
Because he was... Whatever way Elliot is sometimes able to know that Mr. Robot's not there, he was able to flip that. How that happens is cosmic to us.
I have to look up lucid dreaming. I'm going to spend my next week researching lucid dreaming.
But lucid dreaming and if you're a paranoid schizophrenic.
And DID.
Who sees your dead father. Yeah.
Yeah.
DIY, do it yourself, lucid dreaming.
DIY, lucid dreaming. I'm sure there's a, I think there is a subreddit called Our Lucid Dreaming.
I'm going to look that up and tulpas and all that all put together because there was another thing. I don't know if you guys caught this one. When he went after Mr. Robot to meet up at meet up with Tyrell.
Did you guess the door?
When this is when he's in like the park. Did you guys notice when it, first it was Mr. Robot and then Elliot followed like a few seconds later, of course, because it's one and the same. But as he was crossing, I don't know if you guys noticed the gray haired gentleman that crossed him who looked exactly like Terry Colby.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, it's a little that would blow my mind away, but. Why did they show this guy? He looked exactly like Terry Colby, but it's the back of him, and he crosses right in front of Elliot. And there I could see maybe it is Sam Ismail messing with us, because that was just too on the nose for me. Even if it was the back of him, and he kind of like lumbered like, not saying that Terry Colby lumbers, but it was just very, and I was like, why? But it was just an interesting little footnote to all everything that happened in this scene with the cab driver and
which Tyrell.
Was nothing. So good. Which we didn't get.
We have zero confirmation.
Zero confirmation.
If that was actually Tyrell at all. If Elliot wasn't, like, there's a high probability Elliot was in his bed this entire time, and this was all the lucid dream. But once again, that doesn't make it any more or less real. It seems less likely unless leading into the season finale it's all a lucid dream, because it looks like next week Elliot is going to, or Tyrell is going to show Elliot what phase two is.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to jump in?
Yeah.
We
gotta talk about them predictions right quick.
All right.
After Buzz TV predictions.
All right, there's a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah. All right. Let's just get some of it out of the way. Does anyone have a prediction on where Trenton and Mobley are?
I don't know if we'll find out where they are. I think with it being such a short episode, we have to find out what's the deal with Angela and White Rose. I think we'll probably find out whether or not Darlene and Cisco are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely need to find out what phase two is and what was going on with Tyrell this whole season. And then with this new deal with Price, like how is that going to go through the way we think it is, or is there another plan happening there? So it'd be nice to get that, tidbit, but I don't know if we have enough time to cover it.
I think the deal went through.
Does anyone want to join team?
Yeah.
Team time.
Team time.
Drink. Does anyone want to join team time White Rose is chemically messing with time, and that's what Washington Township is? Because this just keeps formulating. There's something about he's building a multi-dimensional machine, a time machine.
We've been talking about breadcrumbs and wanting sandwiches for answers, and I'm going to throw you a sandwich here.
Please.
Because HelloFriend tweeted this out, the super Mr. Robot
Dino
oracle.
Yes.
Yes, goddess who knows, she's tweeting left and right about it. She tweeted about, make sure to stick around for the post-credits scene.
Make sure
there's going to be a huge, so if it's going to go into your time travel possibility, that could be it. And to, you know, now for predictions, I think the deal's going through because you see the previews next week. You see the streets of New York. You see an E-Corp truck, and you see the streets are clean.
Mm.
So you see that the trash is being picked up. So it's just
changing.
In that shot.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe, you know, the loans are going through.
Yeah, for better or worse, the E-Coins are going to do that. Yeah.
And there's a great scene. You see a scene with Elliot and Tyrell fighting in a car, which is reminiscent to last season when Mr. Robot and Tyrell were fighting in the car. So does that mean all of these are just manifestations
internal,
of Elliot?
Yeah, internal struggles.
You know? Did Elliot kill him? I didn't see blood on the bullet casing, but I don't know. So it's just more questions than answers. I'm
ready for next week. Do you guys have any predictions at large? Because it's about time to go.
I'm predicting that Doc Brown and Marty are going to show up, and we're going to have a crossover Back to the Future reunion.
I'm predicting
episode.
Rick and Morty are in the backseat of the DeLorean with Doc, and Einstein's there too.
I'm predicting it's the singularity, and Elon Musk was right.
All right. Let people know where they can find you and tell you you're dead wrong about that, JC Rubio.
JC, follow me at JC Rubio TV on Instagram and Twitter. And check out my, I've got some cooking videos. Yes, just Mr. Robot. Yes, Paul. Yes, my lovely other half and I, we do these weekly Instagram videos called At Paleo Goddess. And we take regular eats and turn them into paleo treats.
Ooh.
Follow us there.
How can I follow that up, guys? Nothing there. Thanks, guys, for watching. And thank you in the chat. You guys really were awesome tonight. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, Ashley_Chadman. I'll see you next week for the finale if I don't astro project out of myself.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN. I do a lot of fun stuff here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about it regularly, including Gotham this Monday, the 19th. Thank you and good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.